okay. I'm sure you all had some hearty discussion, some laughter, some finding. Okay, maybe we just kind of, everyone can just face here. After we have every group just share a little bit of what they found. Okay, over the last 3 months, we actually talked about the family. Okay, family altar, how to bring up children, how to bring up teenagers. We look at finances. We also look at conflict resolution. And today we'll be looking at a very important topic, the family and the church. Okay, what does the Bible have to say about the family and the church? And is there any way that we can merge the two, or what does God say about that? All right, in this day and age, there's a whole move. Okay, one of the things that is pretty clear in some of the, if you look at the homeschool, the homeschooling kind of a perspective, the homeschool community since the 1970s have made a big push to protect the family. But over time, they actually generated into a fact that they have subtly but said that the family is, many of the homeschool materials don't actually teach about the church. Okay, it's a lot to do with how to bring up children and all that kind of thing, which is nice and right. But over time, many people getting involved in that has changed their mindset about the church. Okay, and on top of that, another reason why perhaps church has become kind of degraded is there are many problems in the church. Churches have gone through a lot of problems. Pastors have fallen. Churches have, because of money problems, people problems, racist problems. People have begun to say, just kind of shut out church altogether. Okay. Another reason is there's this new movement called the home church movement, whereby everything is a house church. Okay. We no longer do we subscribe to a organized institution. Okay. So with this in mind, we as God's people need to actually look from the scriptures and have it very clear in our minds. Okay. And so the idea of this is this exercise is just kind of force us to just go back to the Bible rather than just read. Okay, what people say. All right, so we'll just quickly just go through introduction. Okay, we'll just go from this side first, all right? Based on these two verses, the youth, I think they have youth fellowship there just now. What would you say a Christian's primary goal in life is? Man. Let's just judge. Okay, just what would be the... What would you say a Christian's primary goal in life is?
To do God's will.
Okay, to do God's will. Anything else? And this group in front? And glorify God, okay? This what about this side? Yeah. Primary goal in life. Primary goal in life. Primary goal in life. Primary goal in life, okay? Based on those two verses. What did each group get? Same as them? Okay, the two primary goals. All right, a primary must be only one, right? The primary goal in life is to do God's will and to glorify God. Okay, these two have to come together. Okay? Winning lost souls to Christ is doing God's will. All right? So, but overarching theme of the Christian life that all we all must have in our life is to what? Glorify God in all that we do and to do His will. Okay? And do His will. Alright, the next one is share two thoughts, okay, on the verse in Mark chapter 3, verse 31-35. Maybe we start from the back. Start from the back, okay? Start from the back. Can you share two? Did you all get to Mark chapter 3? could you just share one thought or two thoughts about the verse, the passage there? Did they all get to that passage? Or maybe if Sister Agnes' group, Brother Ping Kong? Forgot first, okay. Anything else? How about the group just in front? Sister Wichens' group, Agnes' group. Okay. Okay, that's good. Okay. Okay, so one is doing God's will is important, so we need to do God's will because then we're part of God's spiritual family. Some other people actually made the comparison that Jesus actually made. Possibly that he says that doing God's will is more important than the family. Okay? Oh, here. Joshua's group. Ratilong's group. Same? Yes.
Then he look around. Then, so then inside is the family because they do God's will. So referring that you do God's will, you are God's family.
Okay. Okay.
When the question was, when the people point to Jesus and say, "Look, your mother and your brother," Jesus has a choice to come and use the opportunity to teach them spiritual lessons.
Mm-hmm. Family. Okay. 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 This part? What do you come up with? If you louder. Okay, so okay, because the first one is Okay. A person who does the will of God is in God's family, and then we have to treat other Christians who do God's will as our family members. Okay? Okay, interesting. Hey, what about the last group? Eh? Similar. Okay, similar thoughts. Okay. Okay, general principle, I think, from the first one is pretty clear. The two thoughts. Okay, in the context of Mark chapter 3, verse 31, I think you all more or less hit it, but I just want to actually pull out the gist of what Jesus was trying to point out. I think we know from verse 31 that the parents, the brethren and the mother, apparently Joseph had already passed away. The father has already passed away. So the mother and the brethren came and wanting to see him. Okay? And if you know anything about the brethren of Jesus, they weren't really very interested in his ministry. Remember? They weren't really interested in his ministry. Okay? In John chapter 12, it says, if you're really the Son of God, why don't you just go to Jerusalem? Why don't you just show everyone who you are? Okay, that was from his own brothers and sisters. Okay, they weren't really interested in his ministry. Okay? Sounds familiar? To some of us, okay? So, but what the Lord Jesus Christ then looked at the multitude and said, behold, that, okay, sorry, in verse 33, and he answered them saying, who is my mother, my brethren? You know, someone came, a messenger came, okay, your mother and your brethren has come to see you. Jesus actually used the opportunity that Brother Taylor mentioned. He said, who is my mother and my brother? Who are those closest to me? Who are those people who really are in my family? Who are those? He said, behold my mother and my brethren. While he was looking around, if you cross-reference it to the different passages, he was looking at the multitudes. Behold. And he said, whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother, my sister, and my mother. What the Lord Jesus Christ was essentially saying is this. The family was actually a very important union in the Old Testament. There are many, many, many passages about that. But in the Old Testament, the primacy of the family was very high. Okay? However, in the New Testament, there are many passages that the Lord Jesus Christ seems to shift a little bit of their attention away. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew 10. Feel free to ask questions, okay? It's a time that we can just clarify our thoughts, make sure our thinking is scriptural. And Let me share why we need to go through this as a church. Because as we grow, we need to have the proper perspective of what God has with the church and the family. Okay, Matthew chapter 10, and verse number 34. You read that passage, it is pretty scary. Because in verse 34, Jesus says, "Don't think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Man's foe shall be there of his own household." So the Lord actually started off by saying, "Don't think that I've come to send to get the family together. Actually, I'm not. I'm come to actually set a sword in the family." Wow. That's tough. You know, that's really difficult, because the family is such a primary unit. But Jesus says, "Look, I'm not come to send peace in the family. I come to send a sword that will divide." Okay? Now, he says in verse 36, "A man's enemy shall be there of his own household." Okay? Now, in verse 37, Jesus went a step further. He says this, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me." Whoa. What is Jesus referring to? Is it possible Jesus is asking us to hate our parents? Absolutely not. Okay, I'll give you the answer. No. But what does Jesus mean here? That he would use such strict, such strong words. Because it is not in italics, it's in the original Greek. "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." So he's referring to the fact of both parents loving the child and the child loving the parents more than Christ. God says, "You're not worthy of me." Jesus is... I think this is probably new for the disciples as well. But when you read what Jesus is, what does he mean? What does he mean? Let me just give you... I think there are many thoughts that will go through our minds. What Jesus is saying here, when the Lord came to earth, when the angel sang, the angel is saying, "Peace on earth, goodwill to men," right? But Jesus then, many, many, many years later, said, "I've come to send peace." Why? As a result of obeying God's word, there comes a time that even within a family unit, whereby Mark chapter 3, actually Jesus put on a higher plane. Whereby obedience to God's will becomes more important than forming the family unit. Example, if my whole family is not a Christian and the gospel comes to me, I have a choice. To obey Christ and to be with Him, essentially to be with my family, or stay in my family, or die and go to hell. That's the choice. Okay? So that's from a non-believer's perspective, number one. Number two, when within a Christian family, when one person wants to do God's will, and another person or the few of them say, "Oh, I'm so fanatical," that person has to make a choice. Because Jesus goes on to say, the next verse 38, "He that taketh not his cross and followeth me is not worthy of me." Okay? I just want to set this as a background. Remember I started with two? Our goal is to do God's will and to glorify Him as a Christian. Okay? What Jesus is saying here also is, in the context of Mark chapter 3, He said, "Whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is the closest in relationship to me." Alright? Now, with that in mind, okay, any questions up to there? Let's go through first. Alright, I just want to, okay, put it there now. In family and church, okay, so we've discussed some. I'm sure you have thought about family. Right? What's the origin of family? Origin of the family. Sorry? Okay, Adam and Eve is the first man and woman, but what's the origin of the family? Genesis chapter 2, okay, verse 21 to 25, okay, when God actually said, "Therefore shall a man leave his mother and cleave unto his wife, two shall be one flesh," okay, and both naked and they are not ashamed. So God, okay, what's the purpose of the family? Sorry? Where do you find that? The key, where's the passage? the verse. The verse. Joshua, why? Okay, Joshua 24:15. It is a resolve by Joshua to serve the Lord. But what's the purpose of the family? To be fruitful and multiply. Okay, that's one of the purpose, to replenish the earth, to be fruitful and multiply. What else? Not just to have children. What else? What? What? Okay, that's the purpose of the wife. But what's the purpose of the family? Well, which passage says, we all are supposed to have fellowship with God. It's not just, well, what's the purpose of the family? I think the last group have the answer, I think. The train up children, okay. What? That's Deuteronomy chapter 6. But that is the role of the parents to teach the children. But what's the role of the family? Okay, listen to Malachi chapter 2, verse 15. Okay? Malachi chapter 2, verse 15. In God's eyes, the purpose of the family is this. Okay, let's read together in verse 15. Okay, Malachi chapter 2, verse 15. Ready? One, two, go. And did not he make one, yet had he the residue of the Spirit. And wherefore one, that he might seek a godly seed. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, and learn not treacherously against the wife of his youth. Okay, did not he make one, referring to husband and the wife? Okay, yet had he the residue of the spirit. And wherefore one, why one, that he might seek a godly seed? The function of the family is to bring out a seed that will honor God. Okay, the purpose of any questions? Anything to add? Anyone? When you put the family in that perspective, parents, we have a very, very important role. Okay? Okay, anything else regarding the family? Okay, what about the church? What about the church? What's the origin of 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 the church? Huh? What's the origin of the church? Where did it start? Matthew 16:18, okay? I will build my church. Origin of the church is the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? He is the one who built the church, okay? What's the role of the church? What's the role of the church? Matthew 28, okay? Which is? The Great Commission is the role of the church. Anything else? Yeah, edification of the saints. Okay, that is under the Great Commission as well. Teaching them to observe all things, includes all the things in the life of the church in Acts chapter 2 as well. Okay, anything else? Again? A pillar and ground of truth. Okay, yeah. Okay, the purpose of the church. Anything else? This is good stuff. Anything else? Okay, we'll go quickly to the question because of time. As a group, decide which is more important to God, church or the family. Let's start from the last one. Okay, what do you all vote on? Which is more important, church? Have you all got to that question? No. Okay, what about this group here? So which one? Okay, so it's more important. Okay, what about this group? The church or the family more important? Huh? Okay, family more important. Okay. 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 What about here? Which is more important to God? To God, huh? Both is important. Okay. Uh-huh. Both important. Okay. Okay. Let's just go through some things first, Okay. There are people who believe that the family is more important. Okay. There are some people who believe that both are important. There are some people who say, don't know, God's way is more important. Okay. Let's look at what God has to say. All right. I'm going to go through a few verses. I was beginning with the family first. Okay, I'm just going to read through some points you can take down if you want. Number one, I'm going to talk about the family first. Okay, the family is instituted by God. Agree? All right? Okay, we know that. Usually, a family is considered the building block of the society. Building block of society. The family is a building block of society. Okay? God had 2 out of 10 commandments to protect the sanctity and the sacredness of the family. Okay, thou shalt not commit adultery, honor thy father and thy mother. And 10 commandments. Okay? To protect the family. God had many rules and laws in the Old Testament to protect the family in the Old Testament. Many, many rules, many, many laws in the Old Testament to protect the family. Okay? The head of the family is the physical father in the Old Testament. Okay? The role of the family is to produce a godly seed. Malachi chapter 2, verse 15. Talk about this now. The family will be dissolved at death. Oh, sorry, in heaven, sorry. The family will be dissolved in heaven. Till death do you part. Okay? In heaven, there's no family. We're all one family. Okay? In the New Testament, it's interesting that the Lord places the doing of God's will, based on Mark chapter 3, the doing of God's will more important than the natural affections and relationships within the family, to the point that if anyone loves family members more than him, they are not worthy of him. That's what Jesus said. Okay? Now, then in now look at the church, okay? Church is also an institution of God. Agree? Church is the highest spiritual authority on earth. Okay, in the book of Matthew, chapter 18, verse 17 to 18, talking about casting out the brother, and so whatsoever thou hast bound on earth will be bound in heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ died for the church. Acts chapter 20, verse 35. Gave his life for the church. It is to be the pillar and ground of truth in this world. Okay? The head of the spiritual family, the local church, is the Lord Jesus himself. Okay? The function of the church is to multiply spiritual seed. Go in therefore and teach all nations. Members of the church are all part of a family. Members of the church are all part of a physical family. Okay? But members of each physical family need to be members of the church. Agree? The church will be dissolved when we all get to heaven. Okay? Now, so which is more important in the will of God?
Both.
Make it very, very clear. Both are equally important to God. Because the family has a function. The spiritual family has a function. I was supposed to teach this last week, but I couldn't get my head around, so I decided not to teach it first, but to think through. The first thing, a few principles I want us to understand. The physical family on earth is important. Okay? But when the Lord Jesus Christ came, and he introduced Mark chapter 10, that he's come to send a sword, the reason is not because he wants to break up this family. The physical family without Christ is on his way to hell. When the Lord Jesus Christ came with truth, he knew that whosoever will receive him as Savior will be opposed because spiritual darkness will fight that person. Agree? So when that person decides to follow God's will with all his heart, you can be assured there will be a rift in the family like many of us face. Where we trust Christ. Okay? Does it make sense? Okay? Now, as a believer, therefore, the Lord Jesus says in Matthew 10:37, we need to carry our cross to demonstrate our genuine love for God. Which means, in effect, leaving our family. When we follow Jesus, based on the scriptures, with all our heart, many people have this thought, but what about my family? Jesus said, if you love your family more than me, you're not worthy of me. Now, there's a Bible principle. Often we take it practically. But in terms of Bible principle, when it comes to doing God's will and the natural family, Jesus says, my will is more important. That's right, in Luke chapter 9. Let's turn there. Okay, I touched on it last Sunday. Luke 9. Luke 9. Feel free to ask questions, all right? Luke 9, verse 59. When Jesus asked this man to follow him, and he said unto another, follow me. But then the man said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father, which is a noble thing. Which is a noble thing. But like I mentioned, if you remember the message, this is a euphemistic way in the Jewish context to say, no, I got things to settle at home. You know what Jesus said? Look, he says, let the dead bury the dead. You know what he's saying? The difference between the first and the third person, the first and the third person voluntarily follow Christ, but the second person, Jesus asked that person to follow him. So God's will said, you follow me. What the person said was no. And he cited family obligation as a reason of saying no. Jesus pursued him and saying, look, you let the dead bury the dead, but you go and preach the gospel. That was my call to the ministry. And it was a hard call. Okay? But what I'm saying is this, based on what God says, the physical family on earth is important. The spiritual family to God is those comprised of those people who will do God's will. Which means that sometimes even within a Christian family, when one person wants to do God's will, another person doesn't want to, that person who wants to do God's will must make a choice. And Jesus said, if you were to love your family, even within a Christian family, you're not worthy of me if you choose your family. Well, that's hard. Okay? Any thoughts? But I want to go straight into the reward first. Because sometimes, I knew that when I brought this up, sometimes it cuts to the heart of some what we hold dear sometimes. But, you know, when you look at the Bible, church, which is the will of God, family, both are equally important in God's sight. Okay? So when there's a time to serve the Lord in the church and we choose something else with regards to family, after we deal with the principles, we need to be very clear. I want to jump straight in. Let's turn to Mark chapter 10, verse 20. I want to wrap this up properly before we move on to the applications of this. It's a very important principle. And I'm praying everyone in Ambassador will have the proper perspective, okay, on this. In Mark chapter 10, verse 28 to 19, notice what Peter said. Peter said, then Peter began to say unto him, Lord, we have left all and followed thee. He literally had. Do you realize that Peter, perhaps in this situation, has left his wife? It could possibly that Peter's wife was following the Lord Jesus, but maybe not because the mother-in-law was sick. I'm not too sure. But in one of the I was reading this a book by someone when talk about the different disciples following Christ. Apparently, when Peter said, I've left all and followed, he also refers to his own wife. Okay? I've left all and followed thee. Jesus answered and said unto him, I want to encourage us by this. There is no man that had left house or brethren or sister or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the Gospels, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in his time. Houses. I've got so many brethren here. And I've got so many sisters here. And mothers. The Lord spoke to me, not Mr. Mitzley, but about this passage. And I realized this is true. If we want our loved ones safe, we need to be prepared to live and follow Christ. Because Jesus promised, he just said, verse 30, he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, yes, spiritual mothers. I've got a physical mother and a spiritual mother bound in one. Amen? You know, God really touched my heart with this passage. And children, I don't know what lands yet. With persecutions, I'm sure it's going to come, I think. And in the world to come, eternal life. Can I say this? I want to balance it by saying the Lord Jesus had never intention to break up the physical family, but the reason why he says, look guys, we need to follow God's will first. And Jesus says, he that follow me, I will return him 100-fold. And Jesus will give you back what is closest to your heart. It's interesting what God does. Okay, any questions? Okay, just very quickly, I'll just go down a few principles. Okay, so the answer is both are equally important to God because both are in the will of God. Both are equally important. Number one, both institutions are equally important to God. God ordained them and God blesses both of them. Okay, they are both part of his plan. Therefore, it is our responsibility as Bible-believing Christians to honor both institutions with our heart, our love, our participation, and our service within both institutions. Okay? And you will notice, I was reading one article and you were saying that, true, the family actually has a lot more references compared to the church. But the church wasn't mentioned in the Old Testament. I'll take all the way up to Matthew chapter 16. But you realize from Acts onward, probably about two or three verses on the family, but the entire New Testament is about the church. Which look at the important in terms of different dispensations, but not both are equally important. Okay? Number one. Number two, we have spiritual responsibilities to both. Let me just give you a few. For the church, Jesus says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. We have spiritual responsibility to love our family, Christian, our spiritual family members. Okay? In 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You know, our lives need to be overflowing with God's work. That's what Paul says. That's our responsibility to the church, to the Lord's church. In Galatians 6:10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of our household. No, of our household of faith. Galatians 6:10. That is a spiritual responsibility to care for every one of us here. Okay? Hebrews 6:10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which ye have showed towards his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. In 3 John chapter verse 5 to 8, beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which hath borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Okay, John was referring to the fact that there may be evangelists and pastors and preachers who may come along. You know what they say? Thou doest well if you take care of this family, God's people. In 1 Timothy 3:15, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. That local church is still God's plan in the New Testament, and a very important plan. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exalting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. So Paul is actually encouraging faithful church attendance. Okay? And not forsaking has the idea of imperative. So we have a spiritual responsibility to be in the house of God. Faithfully. Not as a matter of some is according to Paul here, but he says to come to encourage one another. And so much the more as we see the day approaching. And we know the day is approaching. I just heard from Jeremiah that Israel hath bought air bases in Azerbaijan. You know what's Azerbaijan? I don't know until you told me. It's just beside, within striking distance of Iran. You just bought air bases in Azerbaijan, which is just next to Iran. It was supposed to be secret, but it's leaked out. Right, we heard it in the news. He heard it in the news and shared with me. And since everything is prime still. Okay, that's our responsibility for the church. Now, our family also, in Mark 7:10, honor thy father and thy mother. Honor thy father and mother. Whoso curses father and mother, let him die the death. God is very clear. If you curse your father and mother, God says, let you be put to death. All right? So we do have a responsibility to our parents in the family. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14, Paul actually, this if you actually read carefully the Old Testament, I'm just trying to think through now, Old Testament, from Genesis to Malachi, there's not a time that was mentioned what Paul was mentioning here, okay? But he mentioned that as a principle for parents to take care of the children. In 2 Corinthians 12:14, behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but parents for the children. It wasn't mentioned in the Old Testament specifically, but Paul actually says this, the children, parents ought to lay up for the children, not children for the parents. Okay? So apparently that's an overriding principle. But if you honor your parents, you take care of them too. You see to their comfort in their old age. Okay, so that is a reciprocal, it's out of our love. You know, when in Christian history, you know, when Jesus actually commended his mother to Apostle John, apparently what happened was Apostle John took care of Mary and didn't live on his mission trip until Mary passed away. Then he went on to evangelize. Okay, and he was in Ephesus, one of the churches before he was. But you know what? That's according to Christian history. We all have a responsibility to our loved ones, okay? So we have spiritual responsibilities for both. Number three, to show disregard for either one of them amounts to dishonoring God. In Matthew 23:23, this was an indictment, all right? I'm not bringing it across, but indictment on the Pharisees. But what they did was, ye tithe mint and anise and cumin and omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These, the principle that we're trying to draw out, it says, this ought ye to have done, not to leave the other undone. Okay? In Mark 5:19-20, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. So I dare not tell you that the church is less important than the family, less important. Both are equally important because that's what God says. And I was reading an article by this guy who was saying, if anyone can say that if the church is more important, show a verse. Or principle from the Bible. If the family is more important, show a verse or a principle from the Bible. You find that God doesn't say that. Why? Because both are equally important to Him. Okay? So to show disregard for either of them, whether it's you disregard the family, God says you've dishonored me, disregard the church, you dishonored me. Okay? We cannot disregard. We have to put the two together. Some applications of this principle. Determined to honor God with your time and involvement by knowing what you do know is right. Whether it's service to your family or service to the Lord's church. Okay? Plan your time around both the family and the church. If you look at the New Testament pattern, the families were always in church. Always. Always. Think about that. Okay? Plan your time around the family and the church. Okay, family, some things you can do practically. Have family devotions every day to build a family in the faith. Okay? Fulfill all family duties towards one another. I think this is all scriptural. Plan times for the family to get away for some time. Okay, sometimes it may not need to go overseas, but it may just be uninterrupted time at the beach playing games together. Today we had fun playing marbles in our house. Just about 15 minutes, but we were just playing marbles in our house. When was the last time you played marbles? I was a man. Huh? When was the last time you played marbles? It's not that the smash the marbles to split one, it's the ketuk one. Okay, so okay, another point here, help our families understand their roles and responsibilities. Within the family, we know already, by helping the family members to understand the roles and responsibilities in the church, the Lord's church. Okay? As a church, plan your time in the week around the regular church ministries. All right? Because if God's house is important, then we need to plan our time around that too. And usually, based on this, we know, even plan your year. Okay, usually the church plan is for the whole year. Plan those times, the church camps and prayer retreat, and all these are important times. As a church, we get together. If there's a need to miss a meeting, be accountable to inform someone. I didn't say inform me, but inform someone, because we are all in a spiritual family. That's what we do, right, within our family? That if you don't, you come in late, all that, inform someone. Okay, why? Because we care. If Jesus gives us an instruction to love one another, we don't have to think. You see, the thing about this is, we're all family. We're all family, like it or not. We have the blood of Christ running through our veins, literally, because Jesus paid for us. There are certain, I'm sure there are certain limitations, but you know what? In heaven, there'll be no family, we're all family. And that's why your problem is my problem. And I hope my problem will become your problem as we help one another. We are part of the family. And sometimes it is hard because we've been brought up to... Family is definitely important. And the economy of God's will, sometimes the hardest tie to break is the family tie. That's why Jesus had to make it very clear. If you want to choose to follow me, and you look back at your family, you're not worthy. Whoa, that one was, it was really painful for me. I've already, God has taught me to let it go, but you know what? Whatever I gave, God has given me back. I want to encourage you with this. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, His commandments are not grievous. Meaning that when we choose to give and surrender to Him, God says, I will give you back. I will. That's His promise. You know why? All He wants is our heart. To put Him first. In clearly biblically revealed truth, that we will function and live our life as believers to follow what God has to say. Okay? Any questions? We finished already. Any questions? Any questions? Is it a shock to some? Both are equally important. But I can tell you one thing. If I'm supposed to preach and my wife is sick in hospital, Tim, you have to preach. Or Joshua, you have to take over. Unless it's really, there's no choice. Unless Jeremiah says, Papa, you don't worry, you do God's will. I'll take care of Mama or something like that. But I would want to be there. I think you know what I mean. There's that balance there. But you know what? There are many times. There was one. I'll just share one instance of this missionary family who was ministering in South Africa. During the time in the 1960s, there were just major. The rebels were fighting in African Congo, and they were fighting, and they got news that the village they were ministering, they evacuated, but some of their relatives stayed behind, and they got news that their auntie, the uncle was killed by the rebels and their two daughters, because the rebels came and massacred the whole village. And what happened was, he shared in his testimony that said, our children were dead to us that week. The whole week, they just didn't mention, they just continued the ministry. And I just continued preaching, but you know, they tried, as part of their parental duty, to try to look for the daughters. He asked the soldiers, can you just go in and look for this, my daughters? He said, no, we're not looking for the dead. We're looking for the living. And so the soldiers said no. And so they had no choice. They couldn't go into the village because all overrun by the rebels. But you know, after 1 week, okay, the helicopter pilot said, okay, fine, we help you look for your dead daughters. And this brother shared over on his testimony how he cried and asked God, God, why? And he's and God just asked him this question, do you love me? Do you love me? How much do you love me? And then this brother with tears in his eyes was sharing in his testimony, said, Lord, I love you with shoes on, meaning I'll love you, and yes, if it's gone, it's gone. And so you know what? After the helicopter pilots went in and they searched, after 2 hours, they came back again. And of course, the dread of receiving your daughters as dead of corpses. But you know what? They said when the doors opened, the two daughters jumped out. And he shared that God taught him this. You gave them to me, you can have them back. Because God said, you have already given me your heart. Now I know where your heart lies. Remember Abraham, Genesis 22? Let's finish with this. Genesis 22. Genesis 22. Genesis 22. In verse 10, I think we all know God told Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. But in verse 10, look, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham, he said, here I am. He said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything upon him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. May this be an encouragement from God. Say, God, let me put you first in all things. And you know, with what we give, God has promised he will give back. But I want to say this for those who have unsafe family members. God wants us to be liked into that family. Because the physical family is on their way to hell. God save one that we might live to follow Christ. After we follow Christ, the light is to shine to rescue this entire family out of the clutches of the evil one. That's why we've got to follow Christ with all of our hearts. And God said, when the light is shining brightly, God will save. Okay, any questions as we close? Questions? I hope we will just feel free, it's open. As far as I can see, that is what the Lord teaches on the church and the family. They're both equally important in God's sight. And as a believer in Christ, our priority has to be on both. We need to make our time for both. We need to love both with all of our hearts. With all of our hearts. And within even the family, we need to understand, as far as me and my wife is concerned, if any of our children wants to go full time, God, you can have them. I'll support them with everything we've got. And I hope you too. Because doing God's will is the best thing in this life. Amen? I hope there's an amen in your heart. All right? Because doing God's will, God will bless. You know, he'll bless the family. Okay? Any final questions? Any questions at all? Any thoughts? Okay, let's put God first. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for this time. And I pray, Father, that as by your grace is shared, we've talked about many things, about bringing up the family and in the ways of God and bring out children and teenagers and conflict resolution. These are very real problems in the family. But God, at the bottom of it all, Lord, we know that following your will is number one priority for every Christian. Now, God, I pray that, Father, as much as we try as plainly, as simply, as gently to teach your truth on this, I ask you, Lord, to help us follow your word and your will. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. Praise in Jesus' name.